We welcome you this morning to our church here in Toronto, Canada. We're happy that you have been able to tune in with us today. As you're aware, if you live in Ontario, certainly the Toronto area, we are still under lockdown today due to COVID restrictions, and therefore we are broadcasting on sermon audio, and we'll be doing so until we are enabled to come back into proper fellowship and worship again, which is our hope and prayer before too long. Nonetheless, we rejoice in the goodness of God to us. We're thankful for His daily grace and the fact that we have a new day to live, a new day to serve, and a new day to worship. And that's our heart's desire today. We want to sing as our opening hymn by William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, "Send the Fire." That certainly was his desire, not only for himself, but for all of those who worked with him in the spreading of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. And that's still our desire today, that the Lord would send the fire of his Spirit to warm our hearts, to encourage our souls, to help us to go forward in the service of the Master. We need that daily anointing of God's Holy Spirit. Let's worship him today with these words. Let's come now, please, to still our hearts before God and to pray, committing this service, our day of worship, to the Lord, and praying indeed that He will answer that prayer of our heart. We will know His blessing, His power, in order to serve Him, and also, believer, to receive the word to your heart today. Let's pray. Our loving Father, and our gracious God, once more we bow in your holy presence And we come today, Lord, to pray for that necessary ministry, help, anointing, unction of the Holy Spirit for our service. Lord, give us grace upon grace, we pray. Help us to be about our Master's business. Help us, we pray, O God, to know each day we are living for a purpose. We are living for the glory of our God. And dear Lord, no matter whether we are doing mundane things, small things of life, or engaging in more important matters, I pray, Lord, that every child of God will know in the heart we are living and serving and functioning and operating for the glory of our God, for that is our chief end in life, we might glorify God and enjoy Thee forever. And so, Lord, to this end, we pray that we'll be equipped. We ask, O God, that we will be better believers, better followers, better Christians, that we will do, Lord, that which is given to us by the power of God through the Word. Lord, anoint us every day that we might walk in joy, in fellowship, and in the service of the King. Lord, keep us, we pray, for we don't know what a day will bring. We do not know how long we will be on this earth. We do not know, Lord, what will come tomorrow. And I pray, therefore, that we might be found in the center of Thy perfect will, living each day, each moment, for Your honor. Lord, bless us, we pray, this day in our worship. Bless us as we read the Scripture, as we continue to sing in praise, and as the Scriptures are open to us. Let the Word be found in our hearts with joy and peace, that by believing, by living, by serving, we will know a great fulfillment. Lord, remember today those who need a special touch upon their bodies. Remember Mrs. Sushila in hospital today. Remember our brother Sam McAnally. Lord, encourage his heart. Pray for Ruth Slade to be with her and bless her. Remember the many that have recently been bereaved, have lost loved ones. Comfort their hearts. Lord, we know as the weeks and months go in, sometimes it gets even more difficult. And I pray that You would draw very, very near and give help where there is help needed. And Lord, may we continue in our life, serve the Lord. We pray for our witness in the community, in the workplace. And as so many things are different, Lord, with many people working from their homes in these days, yet still we pray that whatever the meeting might be over Zoom or telephone conversations, that, Lord, the grace of God would shine through every child of God. You would use us. Make use of us, Lord, in our day. We pray for our city and province and nation. We need wisdom from heaven. Our leaders need to be overseen, Lord, and strictly scrutinized. Don't let them fulfill their evil desires, but rather restrain them from evil and bless and promote that which is good. Lord, we pray against the devil's kingdom. We pray against every work of wickedness that he is about. That You would put a block, Lord, to stop that which is advancing the evil and wicked in our day. Help us to be a light and a testimony in our time. For Lord, we believe truly that we are here for a purpose. We are here for a reason. It's not by accident. We're in this generation, this time. 2021 is our period of operation. And I pray we will do that, Lord. Remember those in our family who are still unsaved. Work in their hearts by grace. We think of some who have professed faith but have wandered off. Lord, perhaps cold in heart today, backslidden maybe. Father, do a great work of drawing of grace in life. And we pray that families will be reunited and that there will be great joy and rejoicing. Lead every step of the way, we pray. So, Lord, hear our prayer now. Bless us as we continue in our worship this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing again, please, to the Lord's praise. Number 537, Not I, But Christ. Going to read today from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40 and then from Mark chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 40. This well-known prophecy of Isaiah, well, it speaks of the coming of Christ, as so much of his prophecy does. And the opening words, well, they are words of great comfort that God is speaking to his people. And the word comfortably, it's the word to the heart. And isn't that so often, believer, the great refreshment and encouragement from the Scripture, that God speaks right to our heart. That's what we need. That's what we desire. And, of course, the great joy we have of knowing is that though we have sinned against the Lord, though we have broken His law and His way, yet God has given to us double for all our sins. He has given to us forgiveness and restoration. And those two things are things we will think of for all eternity. Let's read today the first 8 verses, Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Spirit, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And then please, turning over to Mark chapter 1. First 11 verses. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts today as we have read. And friend, I trust that you will know the blessing of Christ in your life and heart, that you will know the double blessing of the Lord, forgiveness of sins and restoration of your life. We will be made like unto our Savior, conformed to him, and he will be exalted and magnified in and through us. I want to welcome you all today to the time of worship, as we are rejoicing in the Lord, thankful for each day of grace he's given to us. And I want to encourage you and thank you for listening and joining us today, whether you're from here, congregation, or whether you're joining from a distance away. We pray that God would encourage you and bless you. We often invite you to send us an email of your visit with us in the service, of some way perhaps that we could pray for you and encourage your heart. Well, then please do so. Send us an email that will come up on the screen in front of you. I'd like to ask you to remember in prayer, please, some folks in our fellowship that need your praying. Remember Mrs. Sushila in your prayers, an elderly lady, and she's in the hospital at this time, needing the touch of God upon her. I ask you to also remember in prayer our brother Sam McAnally. We've been remembering our brother for some time now, as he has cancer and he's been going through treatment. Well, we'd ask you to please remember our brother as he has increased need at this time. You'll just hold him up before the Lord. He is at his home now and just praying that God would draw near to him and bless him. Remember also Dr. Ruth Slade in your prayers, that the Lord would bless her in her time of healing right now. Remember, please, our school for Whitfield recommences on Tuesday again after the lockdown since January, and our prayers continue to go forward for our teachers and for our students. These times of roller coaster experiences, they are not easy. They're not easy for our staff. They're certainly not easy for our students. And I want you to pray specifically that God would pour out His grace to our student body to help them as we return again, and they will be able to get back into the regular format of going and coming to school, and God would help them in all their studies and their work. I want to remember, please, the services for the rest of today and then also this week. This afternoon, our prayer time at 5:50 on Zoom, and then our service at 6:30. Remember, please, Wednesday evening, our Bible study and prayer time at 7:30. And if you haven't got into the pattern of how we are doing this yet, we do meet on Zoom. And if you would like a link to join up with us, then you'd request that by receiving our church email. I want you to pray, please, for our nation, for our country. I want you to pray, please, for the persecuted church across the globe. There is an increasing battle and persecution against God's people. There is a growing restriction of liberties, and we have been following perhaps somewhat the restrictions that the big tech companies have been placing upon those who name the name of Christ. And we pray that God will allow and continue to allow the preaching of the gospel across the airwaves, and that we would know much liberty. God's doing a work in our day, and we don't want to be behind it, nor do we want to rush ahead of it. We want to always be right in the center of where the Lord wants us to be. And so let's continue to hold up these matters before Him. Very happy, boys and girls, that you're joining us today online. Want you to sit up very close now and pay attention, because Dr. McClellan is going to be coming and sharing with us the kids' message today.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you all this morning. Although I can't see you because you're at home, but we're glad you could join with us on the computer, and we trust that the Lord will bless us. Something special to show you. The last time I spoke to you, I had an armful of watches up here, and we had a little message from those. I have another message and another watch today, and this one, you won't see too many of these around today, but this one here is one that was given to me by the Missionary Council about 20 years ago, and it's a nice pocket watch, and it opens up inside, and you can see all the wonderful things about it. It has to be wound up. It's not one of these modern watches. They all have the same sort of digital innards, and this one here is not like that. This is a mechanical watch. You have to wind it up, and it's wonderful. Now, you won't see many today. This was a beautiful gift given to me, and completely mechanical, has to be wound up every day. I want to ask you one question, and that question is, did this watch make itself? And of course, you know the answer to that. No, it didn't, because you look at it, you can see its chain, you can see its face and its hands and so on. You look at that, and you know that somebody somewhere designed that watch, somebody somewhere, in this case Switzerland, that they made it and they built it and put all the parts together, and so you know that this here did not make itself. And young people, I want you to get into your mind today something, a little statement, keep it in your mind, and that is that design, and this is a design, design demands a designer. So you know it didn't make itself. It was made by some people somewhere in Switzerland. And so that's the situation. Keep that in mind. Design demands a designer. Now, I want to change the scenery and the subject a little bit. And I want you to imagine something. Imagine that you're lying on a beach in Florida. Now, it'd be nice on a day like today when our temperature is minus 10. It'd be nice to be lying on a beach in Florida and enjoying the sunshine. Well, imagine lying back there in the lovely evening, nice temperature, and you're lying there just enjoying yourself on the beach in Florida. And all of a sudden, you feel something biting. And you look down, what is it? What is that? And you can't see anything. But you felt the bite, and you wonder what's going on here. And if you look at the screen behind me, you should see a finger. You see it? The finger, is it showing up there? It is, yeah. That finger there is multiplied many, many times. And you notice the arrow on it, and it has a little teensy dot. Now, the thing that caused me to jump with a sting was that little tiny dot. Now, you look at it, and you can hardly see it. It's almost impossible to see. So that's what it is. What it is actually is a biting midge. And what do you call it? It has a wonderful name. It is called a no-see-um, because you do not see him. He's so small and so tiny, and he's called no-see-um for obvious reasons. Now, we have multiplied it and magnified it, and you should see another one back there. Yep, and you'll see what it says there, the dreaded no-see-um. Now, you look at that thing, that's multiplied many, many times, many, many times, and yet when you see it now multiplied, on my finger, just a teensy dot that I can hardly see. But when you look at it, you discover it has a body, and that body and that one there is quite small. But when it fills up with blood from your veins, it gets quite big. It has a body. It has legs, and the legs, they have muscles to make them move. It has nerves to react to touch and so on. It has joints that the legs bend and so on. And then it has a set of wings. Now you look at those wings there, and you see they're gossamer thin. And yet you look at them, and you can't see them in this here. So small, so tiny, but he's got those little wings there. And he has hinges on his wings so that they can fly. He has muscles to make them work. And he also has a head, and the head has a brain inside it. Now that's the size of a pinprick, just a pinprick. And he has a mouth, because that's the thing that you feel when he bites you. He has a mouth, and he has antenna and so on for guidance. It is absolutely amazing. Now, I ask you one question. Did that thing make itself? And you look at it, you look at the detail of it, it's only about 1 millimeter long. That's very, very small. 1 millimeter long. Did it make itself? And the answer is, a mere pinprick? No, it did not make itself. It was made by Almighty God. Remember, design, and that is design. Design demands a designer. Now, sadly today in our schools, there are many who are teaching the boys and girls that they evolved out of nothing. Now, you know, that didn't evolve out of nothing. That was made. That no-see-um didn't evolve out of nothing. It was made by Almighty God, because the Bible teaches us that God made all things. Every single little thing, from the huge whale to the tiny little no-see-um. And so it was made by Almighty God. And the Bible tells us in the Psalm 14 that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. If somebody said that thing didn't make itself, be an absolute fool, because you know that somebody made it. And you look at that thing there, and you say that nobody made it, it made itself, it evolved. Fool. The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, for by him, that is by the Lord, by him all things are created, for they're created by him and for him. So young people, look around and you'll see the evidences of the existence of God. And realize that he made you as well, and he's also made you that you might follow him and be a good Christian. Young people, if you haven't yet trusted the Lord, do trust him, take him as your Savior. And young people, I hope that when the day comes when we have to leave this scene of time, that you'll go with us to glory, to be with the Lord. Remember, design demands a designer, and the Lord, he is the great designer of all things. May the Lord bless his word to you, and may you realize how great are the things that God has made.
Thank you, Dr. McClellan, for sharing that very fascinating account. Boys and girls, you pay attention to those words, and may your heart be open to know the Lord and to trust in him. And no matter what people are in this world will tell you about evolution or about the fact that God is not the creator, no, don't pay attention to that. Listen to the Word of God, the Scriptures of truth, and those are the things to settle your mind, your heart, and your life on. So may God bless his word to you. We're going to sing again to the praise of God. Search me, O God, my actions try. Let this be the prayer of every heart. Please turn with me in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 11 and John chapter 5. Matthew chapter 11, first of all, and then John chapter 5. Matthew 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, there they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John chapter 5. Verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony of man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor have seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. May God bless his word to his heart, to our hearts now. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, take the word now and write it on our hearts, Lord, so that we can understand. And Lord, we ask that the Spirit of God will apply the truth to us so that we will not be unbelieving believers, but we will mix the Word of God with faith and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Father, we pray today for those who are unsaved, who have never professed faith in Christ, who have never called out for salvation, Lord, please speak to their hearts today, we pray. Hear our prayers now. In Jesus' holy name, we ask. Amen. In our Wednesday prayer meetings, we have been studying through the book of the Acts of the Apostles. In Acts 19, there is a very important reference to John the Baptist, to his ministry, to the baptism that he was engaged in. And our studies were in depth in that respect to determine exactly what that baptism was. And I believe that the baptism that John did was essentially the same as the baptism that Christ commands and that we follow today. It was a baptism unto repentance. It was a baptism to believe in the work that the Messiah was about to do. And we, from our vantage point, look back to give thanks and rejoice and make testimony that our baptism seals the conviction of our faith in Christ and what He has done for us on Calvary's cross. And friend, I ask you today, do you know Him? Do you know Christ? Have you been saved? Are you following Him by obediently adhering to the very sacraments that He has commanded us in His holy word? I want to think today in our message about the testimony of John the Baptist. And as we, in our Lord's Day morning services, have been dwelling on the life of Christ, for the next few weeks, I want to continue that study on Wednesday evening because it's really dwelling more in a Bible study format. As we think of Matthew 25 and the Olivet Discourse, we did that last Wednesday night, and we want to think about that for the next couple of weeks. And so we will be resuming back to the study of the life of Christ in our morning services. But in the meantime, as we connect up some of these dots and think again of those who prominently witnessed for Christ and of Him, certainly John the Baptist was one of them. A prominent example. It's good for us, you know, to examine the lives of men and women of faith because we can draw so much from their lives, from their character, from their habits, from how they proclaimed the Lord, how they walked before God. And the Holy Spirit directs our attention to a great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11. They were strong and mighty, and they were put opposite for our learning to those who were weak and feeble, who altogether are part of a sovereign plan of God. He is working together in our lives and through the examples of the lives that have gone before us for the ultimate goal. What's that? For the glory of Christ, for the building of His kingdom. And that, friend, is what you and I are today involved in. Going all the way back to the Old Testament, we were presented with Noah, the preacher of righteousness. We were introduced to Abraham, the friend of God. We know that these men have been given to us as mountain peak experiences of those who were faithfully following God. And you come down through church history and you have many of them that are given to us time and time again. And to study their lives is something very refreshing and encouraging and beneficial to us. Today we're thinking about John the Baptist. But there were others, for example, another one named John Huss. He was the one who, well, he served the Lord by a testimony and a witness. But you know, the testimony that Christ gave, for example, of John the Baptist was very, very important. He said that verily among women, there has not been born a greater than John the Baptist. But who was this man? Christ tells us in Matthew 11, verse 10, He was the messenger who was sent to prepare God's way. And that is a direct fulfillment of Malachi 3 verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before the Lord. Whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Now that's speaking about Jesus, whom ye delight in. We're told in Isaiah 40 in verse 3 that we read in the morning service here, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then our Lord says in Matthew 11, 14, if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. Now, did the Lord mean that this was a reincarnation of the prophet Elijah that we see in John the Baptist? What did John say about himself when he was asked that very question? Are you Elijah? And he said, no, I am not. Then they said unto him, who are you then? And John said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness to make straight the way of the Lord, said the prophet Elijah. No, this was not Elijah in a new body, but as Luke clarifies for us, John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. He came with the same conviction of heart and the same fire and power of God. John the Baptist undoubtedly was a special man with a special purpose. And I want us today to think about that testimony that he had. I want us to consider him as a burning and a shining light. And to think about this, a life of heat and light for God. A life of heat and light for God. Please notice in the first place today the purpose of his existence. The purpose of his existence. It was to clearly, unmistakably, undeniably witness to Jesus Christ. That's what he came to do. And you know, we are introduced to John and thinking about him even before his birth. John was foretold by the prophets. We've already cited Isaiah and Malachi. He was promised by the angel to Elizabeth and Zacharias. He was named by the very angel that appeared to Zacharias as he was in the temple. Yes, and we are told in this unusual situation that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. A special man with a very special task that he had to accomplish. But I want you to think, believer, for a moment about your own testimony. Because you are also very special in the eyes of God. Special because you have been also chosen by God from before the foundation of the world. You have been chosen by the Lord in order to be set apart for a work that the Lord has for you to do. That word holy, it means to be set aside, to set apart. God has made a difference in our life by both choosing us and by saving us by divine and sovereign grace. My friend, he has told us that before the foundation of the world, We have been chosen in Christ, and we are created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2, verse 10, unto good works. And what good works are those? They are the good works of proclaiming who the Lord is, what He has done, and what He has come to this world to accomplish. Yes, believer, there is a very striking parallel to the testimony of John the Baptist and the testimony of every Christian. Don't think, my friend, about those saints of old that were somewhat super saints, or they are so far above the rest of us that we could never attain to that. No, we draw from their life. We draw from their testimony. We are to be instructed by their life, but we are also to see that we also are in the hand of our great God. And being in His hand, chosen by His grace, saved by His mercy and love and the sacrifice of Jesus, then we have a task, we have a work that we are called to do. What about during the life of John? His ministry was relatively short from the time he started until the time he was martyred. But here is a life that was devoted to the Lord. That word devoted, in the Old Testament context, it meant dedicated. And of course, we see that brought out in the New Testament as well, that those things, whether they were objects devoted to the Lord, or more importantly, in our context, an individual who is devoted to the Lord, it means to be dedicated. But it's a much stronger use than it appears just on the surface. It means to be literally given over as a sacrifice unto God. The Old Testament sacrifices, friends, when they were brought by the individual to the priest to be offered, they were devoted unto God. And the whole import behind it was a sacrifice to be given. John the Baptist, in his life, was a man devoted to God. And I ask you today, my friend, is that your Christian life now? Is that my Christian life now? Am I devoted unto God as a sacrifice? We are reminded often of the words of Romans 12, verse 1, where we are besought by the Holy Spirit to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. But are we holding back today something from the Lord in our life? It's a question we all need to ask ourselves, and never mind asking it for someone else. Don't bother thinking about anyone else right now, but let us examine our own hearts and simply ask, Lord, is my life devoted, dedicated, given wholly over unto your purpose and work? This is the benefit of studying a testimony like John the Baptist, because it comes with a penetrating search into our own heart. And of course, that's what the Scripture is supposed to do. That's what the very preaching of the gospel is supposed to do, to search us out. Well then, let the searchlight of the Scripture come into our hearts today and do that very thing. Some of the mightiest servants of God have had a short life in which to burn brightly for Him. They have been faithful in their devotion and purpose, but it has not been for really a long time. Last Sunday morning, I mentioned to you about a man, a Puritan called Jeremiah Burroughs. He died at the age of 47. C.H. Spurgeon, whom we have read and love his testimony and witness, he died at the age of 58. Robert McShane died at the age of 29. These people impacted the kingdom of God. They left a witness behind them. A testimony does not have to be a long one, friend, to be beneficial or profitable unto God. And we know that as Moses prayed that the Lord would teach us to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom, we want to know that our life now is being that devoted, living testimony for Him. We can't imagine that we have a long time left to live. We don't know. But what we do know is that we have today. And we have the Spirit of God that's working in us with that yearning and that desire to be a living testimony for Him, a devoted life. And believer, it comes down to this, that you must pray to that end. And then I must pray to the point of wanting my testimony to be meaningful for God. If you're desirous only of living for yourself, friend, of not really being serious about God in your life, then that's exactly the way the life will be. It'll just be more full of the world than it will be full of the Lord. But when God begins to reveal His purpose to you in His Word, that's where you're going to see it doesn't matter how long or short my life is. All that matters, have I lived with the purpose of God upon me? And if that's the case, then our life will be meaningful. Our life will be to the glory of God. And that, friend, is what we are called here to do. We can so often be sidetracked by the necessary duties. And I'm as guilty of that, believe me, as the next person. So many things to do, so many things to accomplish on the list, and we go through them in somewhat a mechanical way, whether it is even the reading of Scripture, going through our devotional Bible calendar. Wow. We can read through those chapters and just check them off. They're done now. I move on to the next job. And that's not what the Lord wants of us. He wants our heart. And that's why in Isaiah 40, He says, He speaks comfortably to His people. God is speaking to the heart. That's the meaning of the Hebrew word. So, as God speaks to us, friend, and maybe today we have to say, I feel like ice cold. I don't feel very devoted to the Lord. I don't feel very dedicated. What are we to do? We are to pray earnestly from the heart that God will rekindle the fire in us. Those coals, that wood that once burned very brightly, it's down very dim now. Oh, let it be stoked then. Let the Lord put on new fuel and fire us again for His honor. John was a devoted man in his life from his birth, but also in his very death. We sometimes think about Stephen as being the first martyr of the New Testament, but actually it was John. John was the first martyr. He was in prison. He had been put there by Herod because he boldly spoke against Herod at that time for the immoral marriage that Herod had of his brother's wife. Yeah, John spoke against the government of his day, and he took the heat for it, and he was cast into prison. And eventually we know from the very wicked and evil oath that Herod made because of someone dancing to his pleasure in some lustful way, the head of John the Baptist was removed. He was a martyr for the cause of Christ. Even in his death, he glorified the Lord. But you know, history has been stained, the blood of the canvas of history, by the faithful death of many, many people. They've received a crown of glory and of life eternal by dying in this life because of their testimony. I mentioned to you earlier on about John Huss. He was a man who, before the Council of Constance in Germany in the year 1415, he was called upon to recant of his testimony, to turn back from it. But he said this, "I can never deny the justification of my teaching and believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so God wills, my strength shall remain within me constantly as long as I have not been proven wrong by the Holy Bible." In other words, his conscience was bound by the Scripture, and he was not going to go against it. He could not. But when he said those words, he knew that it would mean the loss of his own life. And as John Huss was tied to that stake and the fire was lit, three times he said, "Jesus, thou Son of the living God, have mercy upon me." And the smoke then enveloped him. And people couldn't see his body. And when the smoke cleared and the flames began to burn, the head of John Huss had sunk down to his chest. And he had already died before even the flame touched him. Yes, God was merciful to his servant at that time. 2 hours later, as the flames had completely burned his body, the ashes were taken away of a faithful servant of God. John the Baptist, a life of heat and light for God. In the purpose of his existence. And please notice in the second place today, in the way he fulfilled that purpose. In the way that he fulfilled that purpose. Yes, of course, his was a life centered upon the Lord. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And he baptized people with the baptism of repentance, looking forward to Christ. And he had the great joy of saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world." And he had the joy of baptizing the Savior. He was faithful in his preaching. That's what this man was, in the way in which he fulfilled that purpose. Faithful in his presentation, in his preaching of Christ. He did not compromise the truth of his witness. It didn't matter to John who was gathered, who was listening. He didn't care. He didn't care because he had a greater message than to be concerned with the popularity of those who were around. My John was a man filled with the Holy Ghost, and he did not fear the face of man. And that is what we need today in our pulpits. That's what we need today, friend, in our witnessing. And I'm not talking about being brash or foolish or just trying to make a statement to get attention from people. No. But we need to pray and to know that we are faithful in the preaching, in the proclaiming, in the witnessing of our testimony. And it doesn't matter who's listening or who likes it or who does not like it. Because John didn't care about the consequences. He was leaving the consequences of his witness with God. He was faithful in his preaching and said, Lord, let everything else fall where it will. I will leave the consequences all in your sovereign care. This man did not take any honor to himself, but he was always pointing away from himself to the Lord. What a faithful preacher that was. Always asking for the Lord to be honored. In John 1, we have this. The Baptist said of Christ that he was to be preferred before me because he was before me. And so as he exalted the eternality of Christ, he knew that Jesus was the great I am. He knew that Christ was before Abraham, before Moses, before Adam. And he proclaimed the wonderful testimony and witness, saying that this Messiah, this man, was and is preferred before me. I am nothing. He is everything because he was before me, the great I am. John felt unworthy to loose the very shoe latchets of our Savior. He had a right view of himself in relation to Christ. He said that Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. You know, friends, it's a great problem in many pulpits and ministries when that is reversed. And it's a very great problem that every one of us as preachers must be concerned about, that we allow ourselves to get in front of the message. And if that is ever the case, then Jesus is obscured and the message of the gospel message is set aside. And the old ego, the old pride that's in every one of us as a human being, when that comes to the forefront, the ministry is empty. It's finished. It's nothing. Oh, friend, as I have asked our congregation to pray for this preacher, to pray for your pastor, most definitely that's something to pray for. For I am a sinful man as much as anyone else, more than anyone else. I need to have that protection of the Lord so that self does not get intruding in front of the message of Christ. As we often say, let none be seen but Jesus only. Let man be hidden behind the cross. Those are cliches we often say, but they are meaningful when they're spoken from the heart. How bad it is in any ministry, in any pulpit, when man's name is the big thing and Christ's name is somewhere behind. Beware of organizations that take a man's name and splash that all over every place. Beware. It's not going to be always ending up well. Self can so often obscure Christ in our life. And it's not just the preacher we have to deal with here. It's you, believer. That's right. Because yourself, in your intentions, in motives, in goals, in wanting to have your own way, that can so often get in front of the testimony that we are to leave for the Lord. And when that happens, oh, we might think we have won the day or won the argument or got our own purpose, but the Lord is the one who is hidden or clouded over. And instead of our lives being a mirror that is shiny to reflect the glory of God, it becomes all muddied. And the image of Christ supposed to be seen reflected in us, you can't really see it. It's all obscured. Why? Because self has gotten in the way. We need to clean the mirror of our life. It needs to be shined up so that the Lord is the one who will be reflected. John the Baptist spoke with great plainness of speech. We're thinking about his preaching. He said, "This is the Son of God." That's what he said in John 1:34. "This is the Son of God." And like Paul, the apostle, he did not come with excellency of speech. He didn't come with words of man's wisdom, but he was very clear, very straight. In fact, Paul said that I am rude of speech. And the Greek word there is idiotes. Paul said, I want to be really straight, really clear. I don't want to try and flower up the message with human wisdom. Well, friends, let's be careful in how we present the Lord in our ministry of testifying or preaching, that we are faithful in this regard. William Tyndale, who was also martyred and burned at the stake, was a man who is responsible under God for the Bible that we have, the majority of it anyways, the Authorized Translation, and much of English translations of the Bible today, a man who knew at least 8 languages fluently, a brilliant man. But he was not interested in putting into his translation work big words to show his intellect. In fact, he wanted to have his translators be crystal clear in how they were going to convey and get forward the message of the gospel. This man was faithful to the Lord's word, faithful and revealing Jesus in the scriptures. And so, yes, he was a faithful man in his preaching, but he was also focused in his witness. John the Baptist, focused in his witness. John, he was not diverted from the calling that he had. He was true to God's work. In John 1:36, it says, looking upon Jesus as he walked. That's what John did. He observed the manner of Christ. He observed the man, Christ Jesus. He observed everything about his life and his work. And he watched the way Jesus walked. Now, isn't that so full of meaning for us? For we are called, my dear friends, if we profess that we know Christ, that we are to walk even as he walked. And so, as John the Baptist did this, what an absolutely excellent example that he was for you and I to mirror the way that our Savior walked. Oh, to be like him, blessed Redeemer. And Christian, we're exhorted in the Scriptures to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But so many things in life, they are pitted against that. And they want to take us down some side road off the main course. Take us down from the main pathway so that we are sidelined down some lane, down some other place. You know, when we go down those pathways and the Lord reveals himself to us in our own mistakes, we have to come back. And sometimes it's a longer road than we might like. But nonetheless, friends, we're called to come back because we are to be focused in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. John was also fearless in his presentation of the Lord. In Matthew 3, verse 7, he said, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these very stones to raise up children unto Abraham. What a man of courage. And a man who didn't care for a person and their so-called status or standing. You see, John the Baptist had a contending ministry. And he contended for Christ. He contended for the gospel ministry. And he identified those who were the enemies of the gospel. There's nothing wrong with that, friend, in our day. In fact, there is everything that is right about that. Because in so doing, we will follow a good testimony, a good example, one of this man of God. Let us never be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but to defend the honor of the Lord in our witness, in our preaching, in our very behavior and life. Yes, he was a man who was faithful in his preaching. He was focused in his witness. He was fearless in his presentation of truth. But here's one that's comes close to our heart. He was fervent in his very heart from the Lord. God had spoken to his heart. God had spoken comfortably to him, and he burned into his soul the message of life that he was to convey. And that, friend, is what you and I need to aspire to by God's grace. There was a fire that burned in the heart by the Holy Spirit, and it was the desire to present Christ faithfully from the Word of God. That was his mission and his message. And like Jeremiah the prophet, he said, "There is a burning, fiery fire within my soul, and I cannot contain." And John burned in his heart with a love to God and a love for the souls of men, which is why he preached as he did. See, friend, John was not a painted fire which gives neither heat nor light, but he was a real burning power. He had a passion for the Lord. It was a consuming drive that he had to point men to the Savior. And that was his happiness. That was his joy. In fact, my friends, it was his deep satisfaction. It fulfilled him. What is it that fulfills you today? What is it that I find my fulfillment in? Let us pray that it will be only and always in the consuming desire and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. John said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice." And that's what John was doing when he saw the Messiah. He was only the friend of the bridegroom, but he knew that the Messiah had come. And he said, "In this I greatly rejoice, for this my joy is fulfilled." This, my joy, is fulfilled. John's disciples, you know, they were very concerned. They were very concerned that some had left and had gone to be with Christ and his disciples. But John said no, because his purpose had been completed and his joy was now full. Is this our testimony this morning, friend? Do we find that that same Spirit is in us? If it's wanting, if it's lacking, what do? Well, we come to God with that very issue. And we say to the Lord, Father, create in me a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Allow the fire of the Spirit of God to be in me so that I will be both heat and light in a world that is dark and cold. Let the testimony of John the Baptist, a burning and a shining light, be in us one of heat and of warmth of light to illumine this world by our testimony. That, my dear friend, is the very reason that God has us here. And I pray that to that end, everyone in our congregation, everyone that's part of this fellowship, will come to that place, that power line of desire and service for the Master. As I pray for you, as you pray for me, let us pray one for another, that that will be the case in all our lives, that we will know, we will reflect that same witness that John had. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I pray today that the Word of God would be in every one of our hearts and the Holy Spirit would indeed apply the truth. Help us in our day, a day of much discouragement, a day when it seems that there is more darkness than light. But Father, realistically, we know that this has been the case in every generation. But we trust in our sovereign God, and we trust, Lord, that you have us here for a reason, and we want to be a bright, shining light in our time. And Lord, come and fulfill all of that in us today, I pray. And Father, what about our many desires and prayers for unsaved ones, people coming to the Savior? Lord, is it not time to do that today? Work in unsaved hearts and bring them to the Savior, we pray. So hear our intercession, our cry today. Lord, bless us now. And as we come to the evening service tonight, once more, we pray that there would be blessing from our fellowship, blessing from the Word of God, encouraging every heart. We ask now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.